Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
So today we're kicking off a brand new series entitled To the Core, and this is a series that is a little bit different for us. It's a series that we want to do annually that focuses on our church's core values. And if you're new to the Next Level Church, this is an incredibly important series for you because you're going to get to see who we are. And I would encourage you, especially if you're new, be here every single week because you'll get to decide afterwards, is this a place that I want to align with? Is this a place where God may have called me to serve? But if Next Level is your church, this is incredibly important for you to not miss a single week of this series because we're going to discuss who we are as a church. Now, I know if you're a regular, if you come every week, when you hear that we're doing a series on our core values, you may have rolled your eyes and said, oh my gosh, why didn't I skip church today? I understand that. I get that. But I want to tell you why this is so important. Almost every single organization has core values, but very few organizations live out their core values. Like, for example, I'm going to provide you a core value. It's a mission statement from a company that you probably know and probably go to. This is what they say on their website. While I read this, I want you to be thinking about what organization this might be, okay? This is what they claim. Provide our product in a convenient, relaxed, friendly environment that ensures the highest level of quality product and best value for money. Anyone have any guesses on what organization might have that as a core value? Just shout it out.
Walmart.
Okay, last service guessed Walmart as well. Okay, if you were thinking Dunkin' Donuts, you would have been correct. Dunkin' Donuts. Provide our product in a convenient, relaxed, friendly environment that ensures the highest level of quality product and best value for money. Can I just tell you about my last few Dunkin' Donuts experiences? I love Dunkin' Donuts. It is way closer to my house than any Starbucks. It is convenient. It is the place of choice when I get when I want coffee. But let me just tell you what the last couple experiences were. Just a handful of times ago, I ordered through the app, and I showed up. And when I got to the drive-thru window, the guy handed me, I ordered, by the way, a large iced coffee. The guy handed me a cup of lukewarm coffee, and all he said to me was, "We out of ice." That's it. No, I'm really sorry. I apologize. No, here's a free Boston cream donut because we didn't have ice. Nothing. All he said is, "We out of ice," and handed me a lukewarm cup of coffee. Do you know how disappointing and depressing it is to drink a lukewarm iced coffee? So just a couple visits later, I showed up, ordered through the app, large iced coffee, showed up, went to the drive-thru. When I got to the drive-thru, the guy hands me a small, and then he says, "We're out of large cups." And then he hands me a medium drink. I got a small and a medium. I put them in my cup holder, and I'm trying to show grace. I'm trying to be, I say, "That's okay. I understand how that can happen." But then I drive away, and I start with the small drink. And when I take a sip of the small drink, it was the wrong drink! They didn't even give me what I ordered. So then I'm like, okay, you have two chances, all right? So maybe you messed up the small. Let me go to the medium. I finished the small. The medium was the wrong drink. How do you mess up an order twice? You had two chances. So I think that Dunkin' Donuts is killing it in the relaxed, friendly environment. They are living that out of their core values. Where they could use a little bit more help is providing the highest quality product. I'm not sure they're living that out. And it's so true with so many organizations. So many organizations say this is what we're about, but then they don't live out what they are actually about. And so we do this series to help make sure that we are all aligned. And ultimately, what you're going to see is what we are about is about God. It's about the scriptures. Our core values come from the scriptures. And so you're going to learn a lot about Jesus. Even if Next Level ends up not being your church, you're going to learn something about Jesus today. But today, you are in for a special treat because we are going to do something that we have never done in the history of our church. Our church, we have 7 core values. And what we're going to do is we're going to break down those core values over the next 3 weeks. So it's a short series, just 3 weeks. That means each week we're going to cover a couple or on 1 week, a few of our core values. Now, is anyone familiar with TED Talks? If you're familiar with TED Talks, just raise your hand. Okay, handful of you. On TED Talks, they have a timer, and they have to give their presentation in an allotted amount of time, and they cannot go over that time. And we are going to borrow from TED Talks and each core value is going to get 12 minutes. Some of you are going to love this, and some of you are going to hate it. If you hate it, next month we have a brand new series, and we won't do the same format. But we're literally going to cover the core value, each core value, in 12 minutes. And so I want to get 12 minutes on the clock. And, okay, it's already going. Okay, the first core value that we're going to cover is start with God and the rest will follow. I only have 12 minutes, so I'm going to talk really fast, and I'm going to ask that you take notes and that you pay attention. This is an incredibly important core value, and it comes straight from Scripture. And at Next Level, we honor the text by standing to our feet, reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand up and read with me Matthew 6:33. You'll see two dots. We have some fun with those dots, and we pump our fists and say dot, dot. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Matthew 6:33. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Ultimately, our goal is to be more like you. So we ask that you give us the courage to do what you tell us to do. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I want you to think about your morning routine for just a moment. What are the first things that you do when you wake up? Typically, we repeat these same things over and over again, and they become our morning routine. For some of you, your morning routine is like this cartoon. My morning routine includes 10 minutes of me sitting on my bed and thinking of how tired I am. For some of you, that's your morning routine. Others of you, your morning routine involves your alarm clock, specifically multiple alarm clocks. Your alarm might look like this. 5:45, you're going to look hot. If you get up now, you're going to look good. 6:30, if you hurry, you still might look human. 7:15, well, Halloween's coming early this year. For some of you, you literally set multiple alarms. That is your morning routine, is to snooze the alarm over and over again. Some of you are morning people. You hop out of bed with a smile on your face. Others of you, you don't want to talk to another human being until you've had your coffee. You might relate to this meme. Instant human, just add coffee. For some of you, that's it. Like first thing in the morning, I'm just funneling the coffee in my mouth in order so I can function. Whatever your morning routine is, I want you to think about it because it is incredibly important for finding success in life. Forbes magazine says that creating a morning routine for yourself is essential to a successful life. The morning routine is a thing that you do over and over again. Jody Clark is a licensed professional counselor, and she says productivity coaches suggest that daily habits can be an indicator of increased productivity and achievement. Although coaches have varied ideas on the types of daily habits to include, most agree that how we begin our day has a tremendous impact on how the rest of our day seems to go. If you feel like you don't have enough time in the day, I want to encourage you to look at your morning routine. If you feel stressed throughout the day, if you just feel constantly anxious or stressed, I want you to visit and look at your morning routine. If you have some goals and dreams in your life and you just think, I'll never be able to accomplish them, I'll never get them done, I want to encourage you to look at your morning routine. Your morning routine is so incredibly important. The morning routine helps us set the tone for the day, better allowing us to control our schedules rather than our schedules controlling us. Don't move past that too quickly. Way too many people are passive with their lives, and that's how life just slips us by. We allow life to come at us, and then we react. When you control your morning routine, and you tell your morning, this is what I'm going to do every day. This is how I'm going to start the day. In order to find success, I'm going to carve out time to do specific things. When you do that on a regular basis, you can see results and find success. Researchers tell us that hitting snooze multiple times actually makes us more tired than gives us more rest. Hitting snooze is a morning routine that a lot of us have, but it actually causes us to have more anxiety in the day, more worry in the day, and to be less productive. So what does this have to do with Jesus and Next Level Church? It has everything to do with Jesus and Next Level Church. Jesus talks about the most important thing that we can do. We find it in one of his most famous sermons. It's in the middle of his sermon. And Jesus says, look at this in Matthew 6:25-27. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Worry is something that all humans have to deal with. If you are here today and you would say, I worry, that doesn't make you special. You are human. All of us worry. In fact, psychologists tell us that worry is the default position of the brain. That means that when we are in rest and we are not doing something else, our brain naturally worries. This is why some of you have a hard time going to sleep. Because all throughout the day, you're busy doing things, but when you lay down, your brain gets active and you start to worry about certain things. Worry is a part of the human existence. But Jesus says that if you're a God follower, if you're a Christian, you are to do something different with your worry. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 28 through 31. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. I want to stop there for a second. Solomon in the Old Testament is considered to be one of the wisest men ever to live. He is also one of the wealthiest people ever to live. And Jesus' audience would have known who Solomon was. Jesus' audience was mostly poor. They were mostly farmers and like middle class of poor people. And so when he says Solomon, their ears perk up and they say, ooh, he was rich. We want to hear more about him. And Jesus says the fields, the flowers in the fields are dressed better than Solomon. But look at what he says next. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Look at these next words. You of little faith. Worry is something that is a part of a lot of our lives, but worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it takes you nowhere. And did you catch what Jesus said at the end of this? Oh, you of little faith. Ultimately, what Jesus is saying is that the reason we worry is that we don't trust that God is in control. We don't trust that God really has our best interests in mind. We don't trust when circumstances are big and they're out of our control and they don't go our way. We don't trust that there's a heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us and has our best interests in mind. But Jesus says that if you're a Christ follower, if you're a God follower, if you love God, that even though you have worry, your life should be different than someone without God. Look at what he says next, Matthew 6, 31 through 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying that if you're a God follower, your life should be different than the pagans, different than someone who doesn't have God. Because if you don't have God, you are only relying on yourself. You're the one that's in control. So if you don't have something, you worry about it because you're like, I don't know how to provide for it. But if you have God in your life, you have an ace up your sleeve. You have a heavenly Father who cares about you and loves you so much. And even when life is difficult, you can trust that God is for you. Look at what he says next. It's underlined on the screen. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. For Christians, prayer should be our first line of defense and not our last resort. For so many of us, we pray when we get bad news. We ask for prayer when life is falling apart. But prayer is not just in our arsenal when things go bad. Prayer is not just there for us just when we have a bad day. Prayer is literally the first resort. It is the first thing that we should do. And so I'm just wondering, what would happen if every person who calls Next Level their church home started with God? What would happen? I can't control you. I can't force you to do anything. But if Next Level is your church, what would happen if literally you said, okay, this is my church. This is one of our core values. I'm going to live out that core value. And what I'm going to do is every single day, I'm going to start with God. I'm just going to start with God. Before I get out of bed, I'm going to start with God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to give God my day. God, I don't know what's coming at me. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I trust you. You are in control. What would happen if every single person who calls Next Level their church home started with God? My second year of marriage, my wife and I moved to Texas for me to go to seminary, and we felt like this is something that God called us to do. So we went with faith. Without jobs, we just sold everything, moved to Texas, and Our plan was for my wife to be a teacher and to support me as I went through seminary. But when we get to Texas, our area of Texas put a hiring freeze on teachers, and they weren't hiring. Thankfully, we had a savings account, so we paid for my schooling and books and our apartment. We paid all of it from savings. But after a few weeks, the money started drying up, and we were starting to feel a little desperate. My wife Monica gets a call from a school in a different district. It was actually Kelly Clarkson's hometown. And so we drive to this district, and she goes to this interview, and the interview ends up taking a lot longer than what it was supposed to. And I had driven her there, so I had nothing else to do, so I just go to the mall that is closest to where this interview is, and I'm just sitting there kind of panicked, like, God, you see our bank account, you see our money running out, we did this in obedience to you. And God, just be honest with you, I'm hungry and I don't have enough money to eat at this mall. Like, we don't have extra money for me to buy a combo meal. And I'm just kind of giving this to God, and I feel this sense in my spirit that I'm just supposed to open my eyes and look out my windshield. And when I look out the front of my car, I see some birds, and they are eating. Someone had dropped a number one combo meal from Chick-fil-A on the ground, and the birds were feasting on the combo meal. They had the chicken sandwich, they had fries, they had everything right there. And at that moment, this verse came back to my memory. If God takes care of the birds, how much more is he going to take care of us? Now, don't get mad at me. Don't call PETA. God's not saying that birds aren't important. He's just saying that we are much more valuable than the birds. And if the birds don't have to worry about their next meal, why should we? Because we have a God who loves us so much. So with that, I got out of my car and I walked into the mall. And the entrance of the mall was the food court. And I'm telling you, I was starving, but I had no money. But wouldn't you know it that every single restaurant in the food court was giving out free samples, and I had free Chick-fil-A, I had a free sub, Philly cheesesteak sub, I had a pretzel, I had Cinnabon, I had pizza. I ate my full in samples. I did a full lap around the whole food court, and won't God do it? I was like, this is amazing, God, you provide. And can I tell you that my wife did not get that job that she interviewed for? And it still led us to have fear and to have some worry. But a few weeks later, God provided the best perfect job for her in our area, in our just a few miles from our house. And can I just tell you that just because you pray, it doesn't mean everything's going to go your way, but it does mean that you can trust. Your worry goes down when you trust that God will provide even the little things in your life. So what would happen? What would happen if every Christian... What would happen if every Christian started with God? I love the quote by Corey Ten Boom. She says, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. So what would happen in your daily routine if before you get out of bed, you just said, hey, God, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to give you everything. I'm just going to start with you. And that takes us to our first win of the day. Today's win is commit to starting every day this week with God. Again, I can't force you to do anything. I hope I can inspire you that this is a core value, because as Christians, we want to be different, but we can't change our own lives. Jesus can. And so we come to him every single day. All right, that's the first one. Woo! All right, buckle up, because we're going immediately into the second one. Can I get a fresh 12 minutes on the clock? And would you stand? As you stand, feel free to stretch out a little bit. We're going to read our text. This core value comes from a text, Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, .22 and 24. You may have a seat. So core values are incredibly important to organizations, and they're really important to make sure that we are aligned. And just to give your brain a little bit of space from the first core value, I want to show you another company's core value, different company, and I want you to be thinking about what company this core value might represent. Here's a core value: being present, connecting with transparency, dignity, and respect. Be thinking about what company that could be. If you thought about Starbucks, you would be correct. Now, I found this interesting because these are great core values: being present, connecting with transparency, dignity, and respect. Those are great core values. But Starbucks is famous for hearing someone's name and writing something totally different on their cup. If you don't know about this, search on the internet. There are some hilarious ones. Like, for example, Jared went to Starbucks. They asked him his name. He said, my name's Jared. They wrote jerk on the cup. That's a real life picture. My name's Jared. They wrote jerk. You know when you go to Starbucks, you guys, I don't know if you guys are getting, you go to Starbucks, they ask your name, they write it on the cup. Anyone, no one knows what I'm talking about. You guys all go to Dunkin'. Okay. All right, here's another one. This one is horrible, but I think it's funny. They wrote anal on the cup, and her name was Ariel. They're not supposed to be giving descriptions of the people. They're supposed to be writing their names. Now, Starbucks has a lot of great things, but I would say being present and showing dignity and respect is not there when you mess up someone's name. Like, being present would say, hey, how do I spell your name? And not just guessing that Jared's name is J-E-R-K. Like, that's not being present. That's not showing dignity or respect. So with that being said, our at next level, we want to make sure that we're not just saying that we're about some things and not living out these core values. We have them plastered on the wall when you walk in our church. They are on our website, but we want to make sure that as a church, we are all aligned and on the same page. So with that being said, our second core value is authenticity matters. Authenticity matters. Let's dive into our text to learn about this core value. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are full of greed. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. So Paul is showing that there is a difference between those that have God and those that do not have God. And we see this often from a teaching that is very popular in our culture today. And the teaching is, accept who you are. Be your true, authentic self. That if you have something in your heart, you should just embrace that. Those are fine teachings for people that don't believe in God. But for Christians, that is actually anti what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches that we are all broken human beings. In fact, the scriptures say, do not trust your heart. It is a wellspring of evil. Don't just trust a feeling that you have inside of you. Don't just say, well, this makes me feel good. I should just do it. No, as Christians, we would say, yes, we are sinners. But thankfully, Jesus sent his son to die for our sins, that we can have new life in him, that we are not the same old creatures. We are born again in Jesus. The gospel teaches that, yes, we are broken, yes, we are flawed, but we can have new life. So Paul says, Christians, don't live like the world lives. Don't be just like the world. Don't give in to every form of sensuality. Don't be greedy. Don't be just like the world. So what is an authentic person? Well, an authentic self means that what you say in life aligns with your actions. An authentic person, that's what it means to be authentic, that what you say lines up with your actions. So you don't say one thing and then do something else. And the reason that we become inauthentic is because we are afraid of being judged. We're afraid that someone's going to think less of us, and so we either lie and we pretend to be better than we are, or we hide something that's not so good about us because we're afraid that someone else is going to look down on us, they're going to make fun of us or shame us or make us feel bad. And this is, in the church world, a really big problem. Maybe you've heard this, that people that often don't go to church say that the church is just filled with hypocrites. Did you know that the word hypocrite comes from the Greek? And it actually was a word that referred to Greek actors. The thought in the Greek was that if you were an actor, you couldn't be trusted in any area of life. If you were good at acting, we would appreciate what you did, but we wouldn't trust you. Because if you can fool us to believe you're someone that you're not, you're not a trustworthy person. And an actor in Greece became known as a hypocrite, someone that is two-faced. So a hypocrite is simply someone who says one thing, but then does something else. And church people can become amazing actors, can't we? Church people are amazing at saying, yeah, this is what I'm about, but then being something different. Social media doesn't help this because oftentimes we pretend to be way better than we are. We show the world our highlight films while the behind the scenes is really, really messy. But the beauty of being a Christian is not that you are perfect. The beauty of being a Christian is that you get to admit, I've got some faults and failures, but Jesus helps me through it. The beauty of being a Christian is that we bring our mess. We don't hide it. We bring it before God, and he redeems us. And when you become a Christian, you start to lose the fear of what other people think about you, and you start to say the only opinion that matters is God. And God has already seen every bad thing that I've ever done, and God has forgiven every bad thing that I've ever done. So I don't need to hide it. I need to bring it to the light. Look at what Paul says next, Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So Christians, your authentic self may not be honoring to Jesus. And Paul would say, if it's authentic to you, if it's real to you, if it's who you think you are, but it doesn't honor God, you are to take that and to tear it off, to pull it off, to throw it to the side, and to put on the things that are honoring to God. Paul says, put off your old self and to claim the new self that is in Jesus. Going to church should be a lot like going to a good gym. I don't know if you've been to a good gym or a bad gym, but when you go to a good gym, they accept you as you are, but they inspire and motivate you to be better. A good gym, if you're fat, doesn't shame you, it doesn't make fun of you, it welcomes you in. I'm so glad you're here. A good gym, if you're weak sauce, they don't make fun of you for lifting 5-pound dumbbells. They're like, I'm so glad you're in here. But at the same time, a good gym motivates and inspires you to keep pushing on. The gym that I go to 5 days a week, the owner of the gym is constantly coaching and encouraging me, and he says the same thing. He's like, Rob, you're doing a good job with your physical fitness, but when are you going to let me coach you on what you're eating? He doesn't shame me in this. He doesn't make me feel bad. He doesn't say you're a horrible person. He doesn't revoke my gym membership because I'm like, no, I don't want your help in that area. He welcomes me in, but at the same time, he gives coaching. The church should be the exact same way. That everyone is welcome. Everyone come just as you are. But because we love God, because we want to honor God with our lives, we're constantly coaching and allowing God to change us. So an authentic Christian, we get this from the verses that we just read. An authentic Christian is one who is both privately and publicly putting off the old self and by God's grace putting on the renewed self. An authentic Christian is one who is both privately and publicly putting off the old self and by God's grace, putting on the renewed self. This is so important for us as Christians. This is so incredibly important. God does not change what we conceal. God doesn't heal what we conceal. God does not remove the things that we keep in hiding. Anything in your life that you have hidden, that you've said, I don't want people to know about that, I'm ashamed about that, anything that you keep in the dark just keeps growing in the dark. The way to get rid of it is to expose it to the light. Think about it in real world terms. Anything that grows in the dark is unhealthy. Mold grows in the dark. Anything in your life that you're like, oh, I'm ashamed of that, I'm embarrassed. If they knew that about me, they'd kick me out of church. Any of that stuff that's in your life, God wants us to bring it to the light. And so what Paul says is to cast off the old self and to put on the new self. So it's kind of like this. Imagine with me that every single human is given 2 buckets. In one of those buckets is a bucket of gasoline. In the other bucket is a bucket of water. You get to choose what you're going to pour on your choices. Some choices, we need to pour some gasoline because it's a good thing and we need to cause the flame to go higher. Some choices, though, they're not so good for our life and we need to pour water on it. When we choose to do the things that honor God, it's like adding gasoline to the flame. When we choose to do things that don't honor God, it's like pouring water on the flame. And what we need to decide every single day, Paul says, you get a choice in this. You get to choose to take off your old self or to put on your new self. So when you do things that honor God, when you make church a priority, when you start with God and the rest will follow, when you spend time praying and reading the Bible, when you make a small group a priority, when you do those things, it's like adding gasoline to the flame in your life. But when we don't prioritize those things, it's like adding water to it, but you get a choice in it. And one of the things that I absolutely love about Next Level is that Next Level is a church that has had unchurched people who have come and become a part of it, that they didn't know that you're supposed to pretend to be a Christian. They just come as they are. And one of the things that I often hear from church people is that the safest and most authentic people are at the bar. And I want to change that. I want the safest and most authentic people to be in the church scene. And I always love it. Yeah, you can clap for that. Someone kind of started clapping. Don't clap too long. I don't have much time. I have 56 seconds. I love that when there are authentic people who are their real selves at church. A lot of times when because I'm a pastor and I go around people, people will like say a cuss word and then they will apologize and they'll say, Father, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I'm not your dad. Like, what are you talking about? Or they'll ask for forgiveness and like they feel like they're going to be judged. Or my wife's family for years, whenever I would walk into the room, they would hide their alcohol behind their back. Like I couldn't see them do this. Like if we do this, the pastor won't see us because they were worried about being judged. But I love that we have people that come to Next Level that don't even know that they're supposed to pretend. I was mentoring someone one time, and our first couple meetings, he introduced me to cuss words that I didn't know existed. He said the F word, followed up by the F word multiple times in my office. And it was somewhat refreshing because he did not know that this was a curse word or that Christians shouldn't say it. And after about three or four meetings, I came to him and I said, I just want to let you know that there's no judgment here, but as Christians, we want to honor God in our speech, and the F-bomb is probably not the most appropriate word for Christians. And he said, well, S, but he said the S word. He was like, I didn't know that F, and he said the F word, was a curse word. And I loved, it was refreshing that it was so real, that he didn't think he had to pretend. To be real, be who you are. And if there's no one in your life that you can be real with, would you at least start with God and watch as the rest will follow? You know that you can be real with God? In fact, if you're here today and you'd say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't even want to start with God, did you know that that's something you can bring to God? In fact, this takes us to today's second win. The second win for today is being an authentic Christian starts with being real with Jesus. Start with God and the rest will follow. Being authentic Christian starts with being real with Jesus. There are some areas in your life that are not honoring to God. And what would happen if instead of hiding that, instead of pretending they don't exist, what would happen if we got real with God and said, God, can I just bring you my junk? Can I just tell you, God, that I don't have a desire to read your Bible? God, can I just tell you, I don't have a desire to forgive them? They hurt me, and I don't want to forgive them. God, can I just tell you that I like holding on to all my stuff and all my money? I don't want to be generous. God, I struggle with praying. I don't really have a desire to pray. What would happen if we just were authentic, brutally honest with God, and we brought it to him? Did you know that we can't scare God away? Did you know that God has already seen every thought that you've had, even the crazy thoughts? God has already seen everything that you've ever done. So instead of hiding it from God, what if we just learned to be authentic with him? If we could practice authenticity with God, I know we'd start to learn to be authentic with one another. So being an authentic Christian starts with being real with Jesus. Start with God, and the rest will follow. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you, and we just thank you that you're a God of second, third, fourth, infinity chances, that you're a God that doesn't love us like the world loves. You don't just love us when we perform. You don't just love us when we're good. But God, you love our true selves. And that God, you died. You died for our sins, for the things that aren't honoring to you. And so we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us, that you would give us the strength to take off the old self and to put on the new self. And God, we ask that you would help us to prioritize starting with you, and that we would trust that if we start with you, the rest will follow. Help us to be a church that lives out what we say we believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at Next Level 757. Join us next time.